Radio.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with the requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available on our website at kboo.fm. Due to the temporary closures of in-station activity at KBOO, meetings will be conducted online via public video conferencing unless otherwise noted. A public link and phone number to attend the meetings are available on our website. The Program Advisory Committee meets on the second Tuesday of the month at 6 p.m. Please visit our website at kboo.fm to verify if a meeting is being held. There's something missing and I'm lit and I got something to say. Oh yeah. All of the witches and the demons better get out my way.
Good evening. You're listening to Transpositive here on KBOO Community Radio. Tonight, we are very honored to have Mark Linehan and Violet Grinberg with us from Pete Flag Roseburg. And I'm going to have them introduce themselves in just a minute. My name is Emma, and I am a co-host here. We've been running Transpositive for 5 years now, and we're going to be talking about what's going on down in Roseburg with Bob Cotterell. So let's start with Viola. Viola, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi. So my name is Viola Grinberg, using she, her pronouns. I'm not an Oregon native. I'm actually a North Dakota native, but I moved here about 3 years ago, and I landed in the Roseburg area. It's been an outstanding place. I don't really know how much further you want me to go, but I can go as far as you want me to.
Oh, please share as much as you'd like.
Oh, okay. Yeah, myself, married for 15 years. I have two kids and we got a handful of pets. I work with the county, with Douglas County, so I interface with a number of different people. And so my passions are basically mapping, which is also my job, hiking, kayaking, and a number of different things like that. So this has been an outstanding place for me here.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. And Mark, would you introduce yourself, please?
Sure. My name's Mark Linehan. I use he, him pronouns. I'm the founder and president of PFLAG Roseburg. PFLAG Roseburg's been around for not quite 3 years now. Not an Oregon native, but have lived enough of my life in Oregon to consider myself a native. Married. Been married for 37 years, have 4 kids, 2 sons, 2 daughters, 5 grandkids, and another one on the way in October. And I love the Roseburg area. I couldn't be happier with a geographical area. I go an hour west, I'm at the beach. I go an hour east, I'm up in the mountains. So for an outdoorsman like me, it's nirvana.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Well, yeah. My name is Nicolette. I am a non-binary transgender activist and musician. I'm one of the co-hosts here on Transpositive, and I go by AM or they, them pronouns.
So before we get into the issue that we're going to be talking about tonight, I'd first like to talk a little bit about PFLAG Roseburg, because I know you're both with PFLAG, and I know that PFLAG does some really great work. Also, I do want to just kind of give a map to where you are, just for people in Portland who may not know Roseburg. Roseburg is about 2.5 hours south of Portland on Interstate 5. It's between Eugene and Medford. Mm-hmm. And if you'd like to share with us more about Roseburg, I want to kind of, before we get into the issue that's kind of a negative issue, I want to like make sure that we talk about some of the positives. And I'd like to start by just saying, you know, it's so great to hear that you've got a chapter of PFLAG down in Roseburg. And can you tell us a little bit about PFLAG? What is PFLAG about? And tell us about the Roseburg chapter.
Yeah, absolutely. PFLAG basically is a, PFLAG Roseburg is a branch of PFLAG National, which is one of the oldest LGBTQ plus support groups. It's been around since the early 70s, started in New York and basically grew from there. And PFLAG basically has a threefold mission statement, if you will. Number one, obviously, is support and celebration of the local LGBTQ plus community. Support and education of their friends, their families, their, you know, their intimate, their immediate circle of influence, and the general public at large. And then intervention in issues like we're talking about tonight. You know, PFLAG has done a lot of things. We did the very first Pride Parade here in Roseburg a couple of years ago. Planned an even bigger event this last year, but unfortunately COVID stuck its nose in the way, and got a lot of plans for upcoming activities in the near future once we really get the all clear for COVID. And you know, monthly support groups are a must. We want to get those started up again, and you know, more social events. Obviously, plans for Pride 2022 are already in the works. We're basically just going to carry over a lot of things we already had planned for Pride last year and go from there.
Thank you. And Violet, would you like to share your take on PFLAG Roseburg?
Yeah, I think it's been an outstanding group to have in this area. So Mark's done a great job of being our representative as far as like making sure that we get what we need, that we're represented in this area. So I've been really grateful for his efforts. We also, like I said, much like he also said, we also do have a number of different like auxiliary groups as well exist. We do have a trans nonconforming group that does meet at a clip every 2 weeks as well. And so I'm one of the people that tends to go to that as well. And it's a little bit less of a support group sometimes when we're a social group, all really depending. Sort of read the room and sort of decide how we handle things. But over the last couple times I've been going, it's actually been increasing. It's been really outstanding to see some of the trans communities start to show in the area, because it's like initially when I moved here, I actually viewed myself more in the larger queer community, because I really didn't know anybody that was trans. So it's been really outstanding to see people start to utilize some of the resources that PFLAG and other people start to have in the area and start to show that there's more of us here. So that's been really great as far as seeing people are like me here.
Thank you. So the reason that we're here tonight, besides to celebrate how wonderful you all are and how great Roseburg PFLAG is, we're here to talk about Roseburg City Councilor Bob Cotterell. The Oregonian reported that recently the city councilor was facing criticism for, and just a trigger warning for trans folks who may be listening, if you're offended by this comment that Bob Cotterell made, please go ahead and like step out for a minute and come back in a minute. Bob Cotterell said that people should look down their pants if they're confused about their gender.
Yeah, that was in the news review.
Yeah, that was in a subsequent interview with the local newspaper.
Yeah, it was something a lot more like he was trying, and I'm going to put this in quotes, to tell a joke. like you can, and I think, and once again, I'll also just give the content warning of what he said was, and this was not recorded. It was before the city council meeting started, but it was something like, it's okay, it's Oregon, you can be a girl one day and a boy the next, something right. along the lines of that. And it was, oh, go ahead, Mark.
Basically, the entire context of what happened was, it was at a, as Viola said, it was at a city council meeting that they were holding on Zoom at the time because of COVID, and they were preparing to get ready to start recording. So the recorder was not actually on when the comment was said, but there were people that were in the quote unquote waiting room area that were waiting to be part of the meeting. And the, you know, much like, you know, we have here on our pictures here as we're talking with Zoom, they've got, you know, the individual's name listed there. And someone had mentioned to one of the council people that she had her name misspelled. And she's, oh yeah, I've been meaning to get that fixed. Well, then another council member who is a friend of mine, Brian Prowitz, said, you know, that he had thought about using his wife's name just to see if anybody noticed. And that's when Bob Cotterill popped off with, well, that's okay, Brian. It's okay if you use your wife's name. You're in Oregon. You can be a girl one day and a boy the next.
Okay, thank you. Before we go any further, I'm going to ask our co-host, Nicolette Schweitzer, if you could unmute.
I had sort of written up a commentary of City Councilor Bob, is it Cotterill? Is that how you pronounce his name?
Cotterill, yes.
Cotterill, yeah. I'd written up my own little commentary on his comments. So, yeah, we were talking about this earlier. On June 28th, City Councilor Bob Cotterill made a joke during a city council meeting over Zoom when a councilor's name was misspelled. And he said, you're in Oregon. You can be a boy today and a girl tomorrow. Which, let me note, unless you're gender fluid or have some other gender that changes, that's not how it works. If you're a trans girl, you've always been a girl. And we know from many scientific studies that gender is in the brain, and trans people are born with the brains of the gender they identify as. Therefore, they are born that gender. And also, transness or trans acceptance is not exclusive to just Oregon. So when later asked about the comment in an interview, from what I understand, Cotterill made things worse by saying, I believe it's a joke, I really do. It's magical thinking to become whatever gender you desire simply by saying, that's how I identify today. But like I said, first of all, that's not how it works for people who have a static gender. They've always been that gender. And for people who have a gender that changes, that's not magical thinking. That is how it works. We have studies on the brains of gender fluid people that have confirmed the gender of their brain can literally change by the day. That is scientific fact. It's not that trans people want to be any particular gender, they just are that gender. I didn't choose to be non-binary. I don't desire to be non-binary. I just am non-binary and always have been. So Cotterill also said, if you want to be a female, that's your deal, but you have to go through a lengthy medical and scientific process. You can't just get up today and say, today I'm a woman or today I'm a man. Do I care if someone wants to be a male or female? No. But don't tell me that you can decide daily what gender you want to be. Which, as I've already explained, yes, you can change your gender by the day. But gender is in the brain, and for some people that can't change daily. So no, you don't have to go through any medical process at all. If you identify as any particular gender, you are that gender because that's what your brain is. And perhaps the worst part is Cotterill literally refusing to be educated on the scientific facts about gender. He actually said, you'll never convince me that what I said, no matter how much training we get, it literally doesn't matter to you what science says. If science says the earth is round, which it does, are you gonna insist that the earth is flat and no one can change your mind? Because that is the exact logic you're using. And yes, I know there are unfortunately science deniers that also believe that. And yes, transphobes are very much like flat earthers. I find it funny, in fact, that he said, besides, there are more constructive things we can be working on that can actually make a difference. You know what else is constructive and can actually make a difference? Helping trans people live happy, comfortable lives where they're not oppressed or discriminated against.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And I think that's actually incredibly relevant because we, so I know that we had 7 of us that actually spoke yesterday at the city council meeting, and those were a lot of the topics that we reiterated to him and the rest of the council members as well, with some of us telling our stories. We had 2 trans women, we had 1 non-binary person, and then a handful of other allies. Let's see, yeah, and then Mark was included in there as well. But yeah, that's some of the things that we did discuss with him when we brought together what we were going to talk about. We had sort of thought the process of like, well, how are we going to tackle this? What are we going to say to them? Because we're going to say something. And one of the thought processes that we had was, well, yeah, it's going to be really different. I mean, it's not going to help to go up there and to basically just like, you know, tell him how much he's wrong. But instead, what we did was we utilized it as a platform to basically specify that we are here, we're trans. These are our stories of who we are. So that's what I did. At least that was one of the roles I did, is I told basically him and the rest of the council, like, about the story of how I've been trying to handle myself being trans, and how long it's taken to get through that journey. And I know, like I said, having the other couple trans and non-binary people on the stage sharing their stories as well in a very similar fashion. I really only hoped that might make more of an impact. But I mean, once again, it's incredibly difficult when you have people that are ingrained in their head that they don't want to change to do anything. And basically the next closest thing you can do is just try to basically be around them so that over time they can actually start to understand how that we are part of their society. So
thank you. If it's okay, I'd like to step back for just a minute. We were before we got to this part of the show, we were kind of looking at what led up to all of this. And Mark was just sharing with us the story of how this happened on the Zoom before the city council meeting. Mark, can you tell us what transpired after the Zoom before the city council meeting?
Basically, what transpired after the Zoom is, you know, obviously Bob's joke, quote unquote, caught the rest of the council flat-footed. They did not know how to react. And my friend Brian got on Facebook the next day and he publicly apologized. He came on Facebook. He said, "Hey, I blew it. I'm going to admit I blew it. I had a chance to speak out against this transphobic speech, and I didn't do it. I was shocked. You know, I'm trying to do better, and I want to apologize." And, you know, basically, the community just basically went, "Brian, we understand. It's okay. We, you know, hey, you are at least trying." And then I really didn't hear anything more. And then another gentleman named Ryan, whose wife is involved in another situation with the city council, was one of the people that was in the waiting room and heard this comment. And he is basically the one who brought it to public knowledge as far as who said it, what was said, and that type of thing. And he went before the city council in their first actual public meeting and called the city council out on it and said, you know, "Hey, this is wrong. You guys need to apologize. And Bob, you done messed up. And that was recorded, that was shared on social media as well. And so I began to go, okay, maybe what Ryan is talking about is also what Brian is talking about, because I really wasn't sure what Brian was apologizing for. And then I was contacted by Scott, who is the reporter for the News Review, who had done an interview with Bob. And that's when more and more anti-trans, homophobic comments were made. And
during the interview?
During the interview for the newspaper. That's when pull their pants down comment. Mm-hmm. If they have an in, either a girl. If they have an out, either a boy comment. Mm-hmm. That's where the comment of, well, I like pandas, does that mean I can be a panda tomorrow? Mm-hmm. Came out. And that's where the I think it's a joke, you'll never change my mind comments were also made. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. That brings up another point too. If he's saying, oh, if you're confused about your gender, you just need to look in your pants. Well, then what about intersex people? It's not clear cut for them either.
Exactly.
And the thing about pandas is just like completely disrespectful of furries.
I almost thought about jokingly saying, and Bob, if you want to be a panda, I've got some people you can contact.
Exactly. We're talking tonight with, this is Emma with Transpositive on KBOO Community Radio, and I'm joined tonight by co-host Nicolette, and we're talking with Mark Lenihan and Viola Grinberg from Roseburg PFLAG, and we're talking about some extremely offensive and transphobic remarks made by an elected public official from Roseburg. So I heard that there was a follow-up meeting, or there was some kind of meeting yesterday. Can you tell me about that? What was the meeting about, and what transpired there?
The meeting was a basic, regularly scheduled city council meeting. Several of us had planned on going and speaking and addressing the council. And basically the meeting started with Mayor Larry Rich reading what he called was an apology, which I was more of a, this is the kid caught with his hand in the cookie jar type apology. Gee, Mom, I'm sorry, I won't do it again. Da, 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 da. Because to me, it was very obvious that he was reading from a prepared, you know, paper, and that it fell flat. And he was apologizing on behalf of himself and the entire council for the hurtful statement that was made by Bob and the follow-up statements that were made in the interview. And he admitted that he was planning on meeting with the council in what he called an executive session, which means a private session. The public would not be invited to discuss this incident. and that Bob had requested that the meeting be an open, public invited meeting. So the story will continue at the next meeting in 2 weeks, which will be August 9th, excuse me. And at that time, our speakers got up, shared their stories, and then the rest of the regularly scheduled events for the council meeting continued, and the meeting ended. That was it. During the meeting, Brian invited Bob to come and meet with the group from PFLAG that was there, as well as some of the other allies that were there, which Bob did. Bob's first words to me when he walked up to me was, he leaned forward in a very conspiratory, this is just between you and me, body gesture, body language, and said, I don't use hate speech. Well, Bob, you did. You did.
You did, exactly.
And he continued on with the typical, I don't understand the fear. You know, I was a policeman. I don't understand fear. Why should you be afraid? Well, Bob, we explained why people are afraid. When people are murdered because they have, quote unquote, the audacity to be their true self, that's a reason to be afraid. When people are assaulted, murdered, because they're walking down the street hand in hand with their same-sex partner, that's a reason to be afraid. You know, when people are called horrific names that I just, out of respect for your audience, I will not repeat, that's a reason to be afraid. Mm-hmm. And then to top it off, he did the stereotypical, besides, I've got a very eclectic group of friends.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Right. Violet, would you care to share your version of what happened yesterday now that Mark's had a chance to share his?
Sure. So, yeah, I mean, pretty similar. We had a little bit of game plan coming in to sort of, we had a little bit of order how we're doing things. But yeah, we basically each took some turns of reading in front of the city council. Basically, for the trans individuals, mostly just sharing stories of who we were, just some of the struggles that we've had to deal with, some of the problems, especially just like that concept of lack of acceptance from people was actually like a running theme through many of our different stories. And yeah, it was pretty similar. We were actually expecting, I was expecting actually something from Brian Prawitz, because when we had met previously, we talked about actually him bringing up a potential for censure on Bob Cottrell, trying to make sure eliminate his voice from the council, eliminate the ability for him to be able to take part in executive meetings, things like that. And that hadn't come. I'm presuming that's what's going to happen, and that's something that might be brought up in 2 weeks. And it's and yeah, that was something I was just sort of waiting for. Glad. Yeah, just one of those things where we were sort of expecting something to happen, and it didn't really. Then basically, Brian invited Bob down there, which was sort of awkward. It was just like one of those things where the majority of people honestly didn't really want to have much to do with them. And that I was in that group a little bit too, except for the fact I thought a little bit about it. And I, after the meeting, I stood around and talked with him for about 10 minutes, which was probably, I mean, like, it's the same sort of stuff that Mark was sort of saying. I mean, my whole concept upon it is like, I'm just going to expose him to a trans person. He can listen to me. I'm not going to get mad. I'm not going to get angry. I'm just going to, we're going to go ahead and talk, and I'm not going to be threatening towards him or anything. But one thing I was telling him is simply, you need to change how you're acting towards us. I mean, the other thing is that the majority of the city council has our backs. It's this one bad egg that's showing Roseburg to be this, horrible place for trans people, according to what the headlines sometimes look like. But yeah, that's what I was pleading with him afterwards, was that I don't know if anything got through, but on the other hand, I figured, just if nothing else, him being able to talk directly to a trans person, understand us, and be able to, and me just simply using that platform, hopefully that can, and it was something productive, and I don't really know if it will or won't, but I was happy at least give it a try.
Okay. Yeah. Should I go ahead and start asking some questions just to the general room?
Yes, please.
Okay. First question I want to ask everyone, how do you think Cotterill's comments or comments like that can affect trans people, especially trans youth?
Number one, it's going to show that, and this is something we tried to explain to Bob, is that when comments like this are made, a lot of times it's going to be viewed by someone who maybe is a little hesitant in their anti, you know, trans activity, that type of thing. It's going to embolden them because it's almost a permission from city leadership, as he, you know, because he is the president of the city council, which means, you know, he's basically the top counselor in the city council. And so it's going to be viewed by a lot of people, I think, as permission to be emboldened in their anti-LGBTQ activities, in their anti-LGBTQ speech. Because in the back of their mind, they're going to think city leadership doesn't care, so I'm going to be able to get away with this.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, what I'm really concerned about too. Another thing I kind of want to address, I want to go back to how several counselors who were present at the meeting where Cotterill made his first comment said that they wish they would have spoken up and told him what he said was not okay. So how would you guys suggest allies respond when someone makes a transphobic remark around them?
Well, I mean, they need to learn how to speak up right away. That's something that was conveyed to on the meeting before the Monday meeting. We had met on Thursday, and that's something that Brian Probitz conveyed to us. I think he was afraid of speaking up directly about it, wondering how Bob would react. But that's something that true allies have to understand, is to stand up for the marginalized populations in their city, in their area. It's basically stand up for it right away and tell people and tell them this isn't okay and we need to address this right away. And yeah, I mean, it was, I think that was one of the problems that I probably had with Brian at one point in time, where I know and understand, Liz, I'm actually incredibly grateful that you came to our meetings and that you were standing up for us. But I also feel like at times my expectation, and I think that he's understanding and acknowledging that over time, that to speak up right away when this happens is what a true ally does. And I think that's something that over time that they're going to learn from this experience. That's at least something I hope, because one major problem without doing that right away, without standing up for us right away, is causing a tremendous, gigantic mess that's basically like it's starting to span months at this point in time. And it's like I said, it doesn't do anybody good. It's just a bad look on the city, and it's a bad look on them. I guess is the best way to put it.
Yeah, thank you. Does anyone have anything to add to that before I move on?
I just Vilas hit the nail on the head. You know, it's, if you're going to be in an allyship position, you're going to have to be willing to put yourself out there and not be afraid. And when something is said or something is done, to put your personal concerns about what's going to happen to me in this situation, because the situation is not about you. It's about that marginalized person or that marginalized society that is being attacked at that very moment.
Yeah, exactly. So the next question I want to ask is probably a more complex and complicated one, but I think it's something that should be addressed. What do you think we can do to prevent things like this from happening again in the future? Is there anything we can do to prevent transphobic comments from our political leaders?
That's a very good question.
Part of me starts to think that they need to have a proper declaration on their side of where they stand with regards to how they uphold their leaders, the speech that's understood by their leaders, and the concept that what he said was actually indeed hate speech. I feel like there should already be something in place with regards to the ethical position that city councilors are in and how they should represent the public as a whole. But I mean, if he's able to make those comments and then nobody's able to, no one decides to speak up and the mayor just blows it off, I mean, what does that say? So it's like, I mean, I think that they need to make a strong stance against this sort of speech in the future to prevent that from happening again. Sometimes looking at templates of how other cities have handled it might be not a half bad idea, because I mean, I don't think that this is an isolated issue across the United States. I feel like that this is something that has probably happened in the past where someone like a city councilor has said something or done something stupid, something that is harmful and hurtful towards a marginalized population. And how did they handle it? There's an ability to look at how those cities have handled those sorts of incidents in the past and utilize as a template and move forward is my guess.
Yeah, thank you.
I think equity training from day one would be a big step, because they have to realize that they are in a position where they are representing and they are serving all of their community. That means every single individual, not just the ones that are like-minded as them, not just the ones that they like, not just their friends, everyone.
Exactly. And I think that is something, you know, to maybe work on in the future, is how to provide proper equity training that is inclusive of everyone. And, you know, really educates people on these kinds of issues that they might not otherwise even be exposed to.
I'm absolutely. I was like, especially I consider the heritage of Oregon as well, just from the fact of where we're at, and especially Southern Oregon, where we see this largely homogenous population. And they don't necessarily, I think that a lot of people in Southern Oregon don't always necessarily, aren't necessarily always exposed to a lot of people that are different from them. So, I mean, that is definitely one of the few ways that it can be handled is through equity training, but it still is made really difficult by a largely homogenous population that sees everyone that looks just like them around them. So it is always, it's made a lot more difficult here.
So, in your conversations that you had with Bob Cotterell, did you, before this event happened, did you have any clue that this was going to be something that would become an issue for Roseburg? And how do you think that the broader Roseburg community is dealing with the attention that it's bringing to Roseburg right now?
This, I'm sorry, Vibe, go ahead.
Oh, whichever way, really. I'd say I didn't really have a good, I didn't see this as a potential thing out of the community. I've, as I said before, and as I said during my discussion at the city council meeting, which the video is also up if you want me to share it on the Facebook page later on, if you're interested.
Oh, please,
or
yes.
Facebook Messenger. One of the things that I discussed, and I actually think was a common thread with all of us too, is that this place actually is incredibly outstanding. It's been a nice place for me to live. It's the same common thread within each number of the different trans and non-binary individuals that were speaking, that, I mean, we've actually had a large amount of acceptance in the community. So to me, sometimes it felt like a surprise, but I mean, also like, I mean, you're bound to find people that are similar to him, regardless of where you're at.
Can you talk a little bit more about that, Viola? What do you find about Roseburg that's welcoming or that feels good in terms of being a trans person?
So this actually comes back a little bit from my moving from Fargo to here. So I'm a Fargo, North Dakota native. And Fargo's where I transitioned. When I came here, I found, regardless, that I didn't really ever have any issues with people ever asking me any questions, regardless if they knew I was trans or not. And really not really a lot of problems with pronouns. I mean, mm-hmm. I really haven't. Whereas with Fargo, I was having problems left and right and people asking inappropriate questions. I attribute that to largely a lot of the work that has been done up in the Portland area and Portland, Salem, and the Eugene areas with showing acceptance LGBTQ plus through some of the laws and policies that have been put in place statewide. And so I find that regardless of somebody's political affiliation, there's actually largely more acceptance LGBTQ plus populations even in rural areas compared to some other states that don't have those protections in place. So that's part of the reason why I feel not bad about this area, even though it's a lot more rural than where I came from. But on the other hand, I've had a warm reception. It's been something that I initially thought as I moved here that was going to be a major pain point for me. And even being told from my sister-in-law, which we had moved here to come get closer to her, that was the thing. Like, you know, this area might be a little bit more conservative. This area might, you know, you might have a couple more problems here, but I really hadn't, and it was a welcoming surprise, honestly.
Well, that's wonderful. Thank you. What about you, Mark? Would you like to share anything about, your take on Roseburg?
Roseburg is, to me, very typically rural, easygoing, pretty much has been pretty much live and let live. You know, you mind your business, I'll mind mine. That type of thing. I am finding that it's especially in the last couple of years, more and more and more of the extreme right-wing extreme aspects are coming out.
Didn't Roseberg have that, like, didn't President Obama come to Roseberg and then
that would have been like 2015, like some, I think.
2015.
Wasn't there like a big Patriot rally down there when he came?
Now the thing of it is that the majority of the people that were involved in that particular incident were not from Roseburg.
Right.
But again, I think that's the type of thing that has emboldened the people that are in Roseburg to be a little bit more vociferous.
Mm-hmm.
This seems like something that's related to 2016 to 2020.
Right.
I wasn't going to say the T name, but yes.
I didn't say that, but yeah. I gave a specific year range.
Mm-hmm. But for example, part of the things that I shared in my story last night in how I became an ally, one of the major events was that a coworker was outed at work. And at that time, I was struggling with LGBTQ issues because I was raised very, very conservatively and was actually prepared to enter the ministry, and began through a lot of personal incidents questioning my views into the LGBTQ community. And one of the big ones was, like I said, this coworker being outed at work and watching other coworkers who heretofore, before this, were very friendly towards this individual, all of a sudden turned this individual into the butt of jokes and off-color comments. And I was like, what the heck? What's going on here? And, so I think that Roseburg in and of itself is very much, like I said before, a very much, my business is my business, your business is your business. But I fear that it's going to become more and more and more less that it's going to become more and more conservative oriented.
Mm-hmm. Here in Oregon City, where I live in Oregon City, and we recalled our mayor earlier this summer, it was longer ago than that. Anyways, it was several months ago, we recalled the mayor, and it was the second time in the last decade that we've recalled a public official in our community, and we recalled the mayor because of statements that he was making against Black Lives Matter, and also the way that he kept on trying to defy the governor's COVID restrictions, encouraging churches to open up in defiance of the COVID restrictions and encouraging businesses to open up. And we had a recall effort for the mayor, and in a town that's a purple district, the turnout was overwhelming against the mayor. I think like 75% of the city voted against him. And I think the reason that they voted against him to recall him was because he had made such an embarrassment of Oregon City. And when a public official like really puts his foot in his mouth like that, it really reflects bad on the whole community. And I think that's why the voters chose to recall him.
That's also, I think maybe that's something that will maybe be discussed 2 weeks from now as well. in addition to censure, we also talked about like a recall election for Bob Cottrell. So, I mean, I don't think this is outside the realm of possibility. If he had done something or kept his mouth shut after the first initial comment in the Zoom meeting, it might not have blown up as much, but after making comments in the newspaper, I indeed feel it's not much unlike what you've mentioned. The fact that basically it's a black eye to Roseburg. It's an area that honestly I think doesn't necessarily, like, people are pretty happy living here and they don't necessarily need to see, and I don't think anybody wants to see Roseburg in a poor light, especially when we're having trouble trying to maintain businesses here from an economy standpoint. When we're trying to maintain some of the youth population in the area that just want to leave in spades after comments like that, it's a poor look, and I would love to sort of see the thought process of putting him back on the stage for a recall election potentially.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. This is Emma with Transpositive here on KBOO Community Radio. We're joined here tonight with co-host Nicolette. And our guests tonight are Mark Lenihan and Violet Grinberg from Roseburg, Oregon PFLAG, which is an acronym for a group that's been around for a long time. And it sounds like PFLAG's really been a great support for you all down there in Roseburg. You mentioned, Mark, you had your first ever Pride Parade in Oregon, in Roseburg 2 years ago.
We did, and I was very, very pleased. My wife and I, before we started PFLAG, we were involved in another group, and she organized a Pride rally that we held in a local park here, and we had 150 people show up to that, which we were very happy for. Then we had another one the next year where we had about 400 people show up. And then the year after that is when we had the actual Pride Parade, where we had about 1,000 people show up. And it was fantastic. I mean, I could not describe the feelings that I had, the feelings of pride and just joy that, you know, we're making a difference.
Do either of you have any plans on running for city council yourselves?
I've thought a little bit about, so I don't live in Roseburg. I actually live in Sutherland, which is 11 miles north of Roseburg. So Roseburg's about 24,000 people proper. Sutherland's about 7,000. And there is a seat open on the city council for Sutherland. I've thought about it, which is fun, but I mean, also on the other hand, I have a full-time job that I really enjoy and love to do, and I also am very public facing with my job, so I interface with a lot of different people at a county level, so it's not like I don't already have a certain amount of influence anyways. But yeah, it's something I thought about. I was going to say too, just as a fun
Please,
thing,
go
this
ahead.
Is to, and this is just a fun thing to mark about that Pride Parade. I think that my favorite moment about that 2019 Pride Parade was, and that was it Dane, by the way, that did that, where he took the Pride flag and they saw a third set of hooks on the flagpole and raised the Pride flag above with the rest of the state of Oregon flag and the United States flag and put that up on the county flag post, and that was just a brilliant moment. and to get to stay up there for a couple hours, even though people are telling them not to, that was just the best. And I'm planning to getting that framed and putting that inside my office in the county.
Oh yeah. Well, I find it funny that when we applied, you know, before we knew we were going to have to shut down because of COVID, when we applied to use the lawn area in front of the courthouse as the starting grounds again, the county commissioners gave us permission, but they very, very specifically said, do not put any flags up the flag.
Thank you. So we've been talking tonight with Mark Linehan and Viola Grinberg from Roseburg PFLAG, trying to find some good out of the negative comments that Roseburg City Councilor Bob Cotterell made about transgender people. Viola, Mark, thank you so much for getting in touch, for agreeing to be on the show. Is there a way that people can be in touch with you if you'd like them to, or is there a way they can find out about PFLAG Roseburg?
Absolutely. We have a Facebook page, which is PFLAG Roseburg. I can be reached by email, which is PFLAG, PFLAG, RSBG at gmail.com.
Great. Thank you. And Viola, would you like to share any last words?
Yeah. If anybody ever has any questions regarding anything, by all means, I'm always happy to be reached out to. Typically, on my Facebook page is the easiest one, and just simply find me by my name. I'm not really well hidden, so you can find me in any number of different ways. So whether it's Instagram or Facebook or what have you. So yeah, if anyone ever has any questions about what it's like to live in the more rural part of Oregon, especially as a trans or non-binary person or gender non-conforming person, I'm more than happy to reach out. I consider myself an advocate, and I consider myself somebody that is happy to listen and happy to share my experiences. So that's more than happy to be somebody that can just provide advice as well.
Thank you. Nicolette, would you like to close this out?
Sure. You've been listening to Trans Positive here on KABU. We've been talking with a couple members of PFLAG about the comments by Bob Cotterell, city councilor in Roseburg. So, thank you for listening to Trans Positive. Have a good night, everyone.
listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM, and on the web at kboo.fm.
Do you need some quiet mood music? Some soothing sounds?
Well, then never listen to Life During Wartime, because they just play really obnoxious DIY punk from local bands and international acts. Sometimes they have bands play live, and it's all with the yelling and the screaming and the, I don't like my mom and dad or my teachers and all that kind of stuff. That's Life During Wartime, every other Wednesday from 10 to midnight, here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
At KBOO, we accept many kinds of vehicle donations. We accept fuzzy vans, broken cars, zippy scooters, seaworthy boats, well-worn farm equipment, family-sized SUVs,